All right, folks, I'm back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Evan, and this is going to be a big one. I'm going to ask for questions, but I pretty much knew what I was going to talk about. Pretty much what everybody's been talking about. The absolute egg that was laid in Morgantown. Everything was bad. I don't even know where to start, but it was all really, really bad. I mean, they came out like they weren't prepared at all, and I'll get to that. The conversation has mostly been around Matt McKay. He was bad. I mean, he missing some simple throws, screens and slants. I mean, there's a screen pass that was airmailed, and then another screen pass that person had to reach behind him and catch with one hand. It was a fantastic catch. It was an awful throw on a screen. You throw a clean pass there, and that's a big gain. There's a couple of those that were really disappointing. He was not sharp. And, you know, I get everybody's concerns with it. He was having a hard time throwing it deep. I mean, and it's not a physical thing. His arm, he's got the arm. I mean, he can throw it on a rope 50 yards, easy. He's done it. It's the accuracy and maybe the reading and the trusting it and getting some air under it, letting his guys make the plays. I think that's disappointing. And West Virginia just sat back and dared him to throw, and what did he do? Threw it to Mezzi 23 times. I mean, that's insanity. You don't target your guy 23 times out of 48 attempts. I mean, that's – you didn't do that when you had Kelvin Harmon or Jacoby or, you know, any of these guys before him. That – I don't know if that's play calling, but I sure feel like that he fell back into – you know, a safety blanket. I doubt West Virginia wanted a Mezzi to have the ball that many times. He's too good of a player. So with all that being said, I'm not advocating for him to be replaced. You know, a lot of people are talking about, let's see Bailey Hockman. You know, it's his third game, right? I get that he wasn't good. And I do think he's regressed since the ECU game. And, you know, it makes me – I understand the people who are calling for Hockman and Leary. I'm not saying it's right, but I understand, you know, the why they're doing it. You know, if you listen to some of the other podcasts and some of the other state guys, and they're, like, outraged that folks say, hey, I want to see Bailey Hockman, but – and it's not a thing unique to state fans. The backup QB theory exists for a reason. He's always the most popular guy on the team. You know, occasionally that guy can come in and play, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy was really good. The example that everybody will throw around is Tom Brady. If Drew Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, Tom Brady never gets in the game, and nobody knows how good he is. Was he doing it in practice? I don't know, maybe. Now, I get that's an extreme circumstance, but I'm sure there's others. And Bailey Hockman, by all accounts, and this is not my accounts, I've said this before, if you read any of the FSU coverage prior to his transfer, so that's spring 18, maybe, spring 17, he should have won that job, and they gave it to Blackman, and that's when he transferred. And so for people to want to see him, I get it. You know, Devin Leary won every award out there. Gatorade Player of the Year, broke a ton of records, Elite 11 quarterback. You know, everything was great. So you add all those things up, and you can see why fans want to see the other options. And, you know, I think it's the first time in a long time we've had other options at quarterback, like good options. If you look who's been backing up other players, we hadn't had it. And, you know, right or wrong, there's a reason fans think that. I don't think anybody's crazy for having that opinion. You can make that argument both ways. It doesn't mean the other guys are better. It doesn't mean Matt McKay's bad and he's not going to be better. He had a bad game. That happens. You know, in my opinion, you always have to see what you have in the pressure situation. I've talked about it under the lights. It's not necessarily all going to come out in a scrimmage or in a practice. And maybe it is. You know, coaches should know better. I look at UCF this year. They've played three quarterbacks, including the Wimbush, the Notre Dame transfer, until they found their guy. And that guy shredded last week. He shredded Stanford. It happens. It happens out there. You don't always know what you have. You don't always know who is going to step in and be that guy. And it's McKay's young. It's only his third game. I get all his questions, but I understand both sides of it. I think more people need to understand both sides of it and not be, you know, flabbergasted when somebody says, you know, hey, maybe I'd like to see Hockman get some snaps. We all would, right? We'd all, because if McKay goes down, you want your other guy to have some reps anyway. We've played some chump teams. There's no reason these guys shouldn't have played. And then, you know, just add to it that Matt McKay didn't play well, and he hasn't played well the last two games. So I get all that. I mean, I think the coaches know more than us, right? Everybody should understand that. We're supposed to trust them. But, and this is a big but, we've all seen the same mistakes over and over again from this coaching staff, especially in these types of games. I don't understand why they didn't run the jet or get outside at all. You know, first half it was working. It stops working. Adjust, right? Move the guys. Get the ball into your hands of Houston, Hines, Lassane, you know, these playmakers. This is no different than when they used to forget J-Sam existed. And you wouldn't give him the ball. Get the ball to your playmakers. And so we're supposed to trust the coaching staff to make the right decision, but again, you start seeing the same patterns emerge. And that is super frustrating. And the second half play calling was horrendous. You abandoned the run. It was awful. It wasn't good. You have two offensive coordinators. You should be getting twice as much, right? You should have twice as many opinions. You should get twice as much output. Now, I know that's not the case, but at least you should have somebody there, you know, contradicting, hey, maybe we should try to switch this up because this is not working. Let's not run it right into their line every time. Maybe we should get the ball into Tabari Hines' hands. I mean, Tabari Hines is the most experienced player on offense that we have. Get him the ball. Give it to Houston more than two touches. Get those guys in space, man. That's why you watch this game and you're just so frustrated. So, yeah, I get, you know, the offense was bad and I get why people are upset with it. And I'm upset with it, man. It was. I don't agree with the mindset, right? I talked to James Henderson from Inside Pack Sports quite a bit over the last couple of days, and his stance is, hey, you've got 27 points. Shouldn't you expect to win? You went six possessions in the second half, and you got two field goals out of it. And 79 yards or 76 yards. That's not good. I don't care what the total points is. You proved in the first half that you could move the ball up and down the field on West Virginia. And then all of a sudden, you stop. Right? They adjust and you don't. We've seen that a lot where we've been beat at halftime. And I mean beat at halftime, beat in the locker room at halftime. You come out, the other team has adjusted something, and we sit back and do the same thing. And I don't know how much of this coach speak, but if you watched one with the Wolfpack, Doran afterwards is, hey, it was on me, we got out-coached, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we got out-coached. And I think, you know, what's disappointing with this is it wasn't just Matt McKay being bad, and it wasn't just the offense being bad. Defensively, they were awful. you know, people don't talk about it as much. I think we're just kind of used to it, which is, I don't know what it's disappointing. And I guess it's harder to blame one person. Like, this is an offense. You see the focal point is the quarterback. And like, hey, look, that guy didn't play well. Then everybody did play well. You know, I get it. With defense, you don't really have that. And people have been bitching about Dave Huxtable and Dorn's defense for years now. It's soft. It's boring. And they don't make any plays. You're supposed to switch to a 3-3-5. To be able to cover these teams like West Virginia, you put more speed on the field. And they made us look like an FCS team. And this West Virginia couldn't score an FCS team. They scored 7 points against James Madison offensively, if I'm not mistaken. So, the defense is awful. And it's supposed to be Dave Dorn's thing. And I think that's a really disappointing part about it, right? Everybody, who do you point to for the defense? You're supposed to be pointing at Dave Dorn, right? This is his defense. And people have a hard time doing that. I think everybody really likes Dave Dorn, and I really like Dave Dorn, right? I've stood up for him for a long time. I think how he's doing things, what he says, how he goes about himself, he's doing everything right, and I really want him to win. I'm pulling for him hard. But it's not working right now. Right? You're beating chumps, which is fine, but you're not competitive in these kind of games. That's disappointing, man. You know, just – I'm not sure how many times we can see him and his staff be outcoached. It's been quite a few now. They were flat out unprepared. How do you get a delayed game on their first snap of the game? You get a block punt because somebody's not paying attention? There was no urgency. The guys seemed like they were jogging around, and West Virginia's amped up on speed. Like, I don't know. Maybe the environment was too big for them. I don't think that's it. I think you got out-coached. I think you went in there thinking you could do what you normally do and win. And Neil Brown's a good coach. He's had success at Troy. He beat a lot of teams at Troy. Not because he was more talented than them. You don't go to LSU and win because you're more talented than them when you're at Troy. You coach them up, right? I mean – I wish I could say this is the first time we've seen it, but it's not in these, quote, big games. I mean, the team looked like they thought they were going to roll out of bed and just beat them on their own field like that. And you can't go into a place like West Virginia. They have more pride than that, than to act like that, to be like that. You're not Alabama or Clemson or one of these programs rolling out five stars where that you can get away with that at times. And I don't think they do that often. I don't think Clemson rolls out of bed thinking they can do that. They're going to get everybody's best shot. They play like it. We don't play like it, and that's disappointing. You know, you can't go around thumping your chest about recruiting and depth and then flip to say, hey, one or two injuries were the issue. All right, James Smith Williams didn't play, and Bolt didn't play, and, you know, McLeod didn't play. Good players. Key players. But you can't have it both ways. I don't know if he doesn't know how to win as a favorite, too stubborn to make the change. But all this makes me wonder, like, what is this ceiling, right? What is the ceiling for Dave Dorn? And I get stuck here because I've defended him so long, right? Because he's doing all the right things, and I really like him. I really like what he has to say and how he goes about himself. You know, the kids are all good representatives of the university. But, man, you got to win. You have the talent. You have the players. is year seven. You can't go into games and play like that. You can't go into a game and get out coached. It's time to stop being stubborn. It's time to change your philosophy. Somewhere, something, right? You want to stick with this offense? You got to add something to it that is going to help you out. It's going to get coach you out of these jams. That ain't it. They haven't done it. And they haven't done it in 7 years. It's been relatively the same. What do you need to make it work? Do you need all five stars? You ain't getting that here. Sorry. He was outcoached. I don't think he's got all the answers. I don't expect him to have all the answers. This is what, mid-40s? You don't have all the answers. You have to be open-minded enough to make some dramatic changes. Defensively, make some changes. Change your philosophy. Right? Okay, maybe you're confident in your philosophy. Maybe your coaching's not working. Maybe you need some better coaches. And yeah, he brought in Tony Gibson, but is Hux's stamp still on this thing? It sure feels like it. This sure feels like the same thing we've seen before. You got to stop thinking you can go in there and do what you normally do and win. There are a lot of smart coaches out there scheming into your weaknesses. You got to adjust. We don't adjust. We didn't adjust. It seemed like a halftime. I mean, you watch one with the Wolfpack. This is maybe the most frustrating thing I've ever seen with that show is that they showed the halftime and Huxwell's talking to his guys. Hey, your guys are doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. What? You're doing great? You just let West Virginia, who hadn't scored 21 all year, score 21 on you in the first half. And you go in there telling them doing great? You need to go in there and whip their ass. Good job, guys. Just keep doing what you're doing. Tackle better. Yeah, they need to tackle better, but they weren't even in position to tackle better. I think it's time to take a hard look at yourself, if I'm the coach, and my staff around me. But you can't keep having this happen. I don't even think you have to win that game, right? It's a road game. Matt McKay's first start. You don't have to win it, but you got to play better. You got to go in there and not be outcoached. And not lay an absolute egg. Super frustrating. And so again, that brings me back to the question, what is Dave Doran's ceiling? I don't know. I'm a lot less confident than I was 3 weeks ago before this year. And everybody knew this year was going to be a struggle. Everybody was like, 6-6, you know, young team would be a good year. And we do this every year as fans and as state fans. You get hyped up. You crush two shitty opponents. And then you're like, yeah, we can do this. You see everybody else is kind of, And then you go out and get smacked by a program. And we have this conversation again. So, again, what is Dave Doran's ceiling? I don't know. I didn't expect to win every game. I don't even know if I expected to win this game if I really was thinking about it with a level head. But I expect his teams to be disciplined, to play hard, to be in the right positions. And we had a whole lot of nothing. We didn't have any of that. And that's where I'm frustrated. And that's what I think all the fans are frustrated with. You can point fingers at players not playing well, and it's easy. And they didn't play well. So I don't know why people defend it. Just because you scored 27 points, that doesn't mean anything. You gotta do better. And I don't think – it's tough, right? It's tough to look around at other places and see success and see progress. I'm going to call it success, right? And I'll use this one example. It's a hot name right now. Everybody's talking about him. Chris Wilcox out at Cal. Struggled his first 2 years. Had a just a mess. 3 years in, this is his third year, and he's a defensive guy, and they're playing strong defense. They just went up to Seattle and beat number 14 Washington on the back of good defense. Now you start to see progress there and like on the field. Does Cal have more talent than us? I would doubt it. How do they win that game? Better coaching. I mean, and Washington is, that's a well-coached team, man. Chris Peterson is, he's a fantastic coach, and I'm probably sure everybody would agree there. So what's Dave Doran's ceiling? Where does that leave us? I don't know. I think that's a tough question for me to answer. And it's getting harder to defend either side of it. If somebody says, hey, you can only win 8 games, you know, is that good enough? Doesn't feel like it. Somebody said, and I think it might have been Baxter C, that no matter what happens, it feels like he's, you know, if he leaves or if we get rid of him, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but the program is in a better position, like talent-wise, right? You have to feel good about that part of it. But, man, like, we're all everybody's pulling for him. But I think he needs to take a hard look at his philosophies and make some changes. Or ask his offensive coordinators, why the hell did you throw it so much in the second half? Why do you get away from running the ball? We want to be a running team. Lean on it. Lean into it. You can be a running team. But maybe have some diversity in your how you run that ball. Don't make your quarterback throw it 48 times. You got your quarterback who's starting his third game. Run the ball. Bam's was averaging 6.5 a carry in that game. And he barely touches the ball in the second half. He's got to light somebody's ass on fire. And I don't know if we'll see that, but I want to see that. I think we all need to see that. Because we're pulling for it. But what is the ceiling? All right, I'm going to ask. I can't wait to see the responses. Like, what is Dave Doran's ceiling? I don't know. I don't think anybody's super confident of him going into a big game and winning. So that puts, again, what is the ceiling? Yeah. I had a couple questions. I'll go ahead and Stephen Apple, tell me thoughts on so many people wanting a QB change. That was a small part of the problem Saturday as compared to the defensive unit. It looked like overmatched and slow. Yeah. I mean, talked about both of those already. I understand why people are wanting to make that change or wanting to see your other options. I would like to know what my other options are in any situation. I'm not just going to go blindly with what somebody tells me a lot of times. I think a lot of us don't think like that. And again, backup QBs, highly rated. I get it. I get why everybody wants to see one. I don't think it's irrational. I don't know if it's right, but I don't think it's irrational. James Curl had a good question here. For home games, how much of your day's enjoyment is derived from the result expressed as a percentage? 100%, 50% less, etc. I mean, it's a good question. I love going to the tailgates and hanging out with my friends and generally having a good time at the games. It's fun. I've left games before where we've lost, and like, damn, that was a good game. That was a lot of fun. And I'm okay with that. I don't expect us to win every game. I don't think anybody does or anybody should. I want to see some good games. I want to see teams that play hard. I wish I remember what game that was. It was last year sometime, and I think we lost. And I left and was like, damn, that was a good game. That was a lot of fun. It was up and down, and they played well. And I don't expect us to win every game. But a game like that, if that West Virginia game was at home and we laid a complete egg, I don't know how a lot of people would take enjoyment of that. It was disappointing. Now you can bake into the, you know, like the first game, the concession problems and the line problems and the heat and all that stuff. And I don't know if it makes it less enjoyable, but it's definitely frustrating. But when they go out and play like they don't care, that's the part that's frustrating. That makes it less enjoyable to me. It doesn't – I mean, that's – and when I say the day, like in your question, you frame it, the day's enjoyment, like it's a very small percentage of my day. The majority of my day, the enjoyment comes from my kids. Right? That's the most enjoyable part of my day. But as a fan, from a football perspective and from a, hey, I'm just going to this game, have a good time, like I just want to see them play hard and play well. Play hard is probably more important than playing well. Now I need to look up that schedule and see who that was. Because it really got me curious. I just remember having that conversation with somebody. Wasn't Virginia, Marshall, Georgia State. A bunch of winners there. Clemson stomped us. Might have been the Florida State game. I don't know. I don't know what game it was. I just remember having that feeling that, you know, even though we lost, it was fun. It was a good game. And we won that Florida State game. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. But I don't – it's not a big part of my enjoyment. Just winning. Winning doesn't, I mean, that doesn't do anything for me. I don't get anything from it other than, hey, my team won. Cool. Doesn't, at the end of the day, I still go home and still have work to do and things to do. And I think a lot of people, most people are probably in that same bucket there. Old enough where I'm not throwing remotes. And it doesn't ruin my day like it has in the past when I was younger and had nothing else to worry about. I don't know how much of it is I've come to expect it to a degree. That's super frustrating, but yeah. So I don't know. It's different every time. Of my game day experience, playing well, playing hard, not doing anything stupid, probably dictates more enjoyment than actual winning or losing. But when you can sit there and just be super frustrated with how they're calling it and yeah, so, all right, so Lee Fowler, knockoff, said it. Yeah, maybe it was a basketball game. I remember walking out of the PNC game or PNC Arena after the Virginia game last season and been really hard to find a State fan who was upset. So maybe it was the basketball. But regardless, I think it's a very similar mindset. You know, you want your team to be competitive and you want your team to play hard. So again, I'll ask everybody this before I sign off for the week, for the day, for the time. What do you think Dave Doran's ceiling is? I think that's a super interesting question. I think it's a fair question. People are going to say, you want to get rid of Dave Doran. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling hard for him. I just don't know what his ceiling is anymore. What are we going to get? What's the What's peak? Okay, so I think I found the first limitation with Anchor podcasting. It cuts off at 30 minutes here. I didn't realize that, and it actually tells me that. So anyway, what's peak Dave Dorn? I don't know. Doesn't feel super high right now, but I'd love to know your thoughts on it. I want to see them come out, and Michael Clark said this, like all week, he said, should be 22 positions up for grabs. Go out there, who's going to play the hardest? Who wants it more? That's what I want to see. I want to see some fire. I want to see a fire lit under these guys. I don't want to see Coach Huxtable praising his defense after he's given up 21 points in the first half, telling them to do more of the same. I don't want to see that. Ball State can score, so it'll be a little bit of a test defensively. Now, it's still Ball State. You got to stomp them, I think, for if you want to earn the fans back, you want that boost. If you're the coach, you better go out there and kick some tail. Take no prisoners. Just do it. Because you need your team feeling good. You need all that going into, I think, Florida State the week after, going down to Tallahassee. And Florida State's no good. ULM just put up 44 on them. They should be 0-3 if you've watched any of their games. But they've scored, and they always have athletes. They're going to have faster athletes in West Virginia. So, yeah. This week, you better light some fires. Again, let me know what you think. Let me know what you feel about what's Dave Dorn's ceiling. Or if that's even a fair question. I think it is, but I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And as always, thanks for listening. Hope to see you Saturday. Go Pack. We'll be right back.